Welcome to SILRAP Podcasts. You are about to listen to a service of the Center for International Law Research and Policy.
Thank you for everyone who made it to the end of the day. This working paper on effective open source fact-finding and preliminary examination seeks to lay out a set of considerations that we hope will contribute to a rigorous discussion of quality control considerations in preliminary examinations as they pertain to open source information. I have had the opportunity to delve into the opportunities and challenges associated with open source fact-finding in my capacity as a research fellow at the University of California, Berkeley Human Rights Center. This process has been guided by my co-author, Dr. Alexa Koenig, the executive director of the Berkeley Human Rights Center. Alexa launched the Human Rights Investigations Lab in January 2017. The lab is dedicated to training UC Berkeley students in cutting-edge open source research methods. Students in the lab receive intensive training by experts in open source techniques, learning to verify videos and photographs, use geolocation applications to identify or corroborate locations, and experiment with cutting-edge platforms for information sharing. This paper also draws on research conducted by Nikita Mahandru, Technology and Human Rights Law Research Fellow at the Human Rights Center. What is open source information? As explained by Keith Hyatt, a lawyer and a member of the Technology Advisory Board of the ICC, in a 2016 discussion in the Yale Law Journal, open source intelligence refers to a broad array of information and sources that are generally available to the public. These include news media, academic work, and public reports. Increasingly, social media and online video and image sharing services provide a rich, open source of information about crimes and their perpetrators. Effective open source fact-finding is particularly relevant to preliminary examinations. Since the OTP does not enjoy full investigative powers at the preliminary examination phase, rigorous collection and analysis of open source information by a range of actors can play a significant role in informing preliminary examination outcomes. OTP policy and practice embraces use of open source information. The 2013 policy paper makes explicit commitment to systematically and proactively collect open source information on alleged crimes that appear to fall within the jurisdiction of the court. The scope of information statutorily permitted in the preliminary examination phase is sufficiently broad that it does not rule out initiation of a preliminary examination based on information collected by the OTP through open source investigation. The 2013 paper notes a range of benefits associated with open source monitoring. Prompt reaction by the OTP to upsurges in violence through early interaction with states, international organizations, and non-governmental organizations. Verification of information on alleged crimes to encourage national proceedings and prevent the recurrence of crimes. And the capacity to issue public statements. Open source information has a twofold use: to discover new information and to authenticate pre-existing evidence. Our discussion of quality control in preliminary examinations as it pertains to open source information is also particularly important in this historical moment, which we describe as a transition from Web 1.0 to Web 2.0. Web 1.0 refers to news and human rights reports, public statements, official websites, academic articles and books, and authoritative statements. This limited number of sources is, in some ways, more credible, more reliable, and tends to be more lasting. Web 2.0 expands the scope of open source information to include citizen journalism, social media, leaks, lead information. This very large number of sources faces the challenge that, in its enormity, it may be less credible, less reliable, and in many cases, even transitory. This evolution presents new challenges for the court. First, social media presents a veracity paradox. It often sheds light on the true character of its users, who drop their guards under false assurance their private posts are, in fact, private, or who, caught up in the emotion of a moment, post something on impulse. Yet, its potential for manipulation and fabrication creates the risk of inauthenticity. Second, not only must we consider how to get information about what is happening in various regions of the world, but we must also find relevant data to separate the signal from the noise. As of early 2017, for instance, there are more hours of citizen footage documenting the Syrian war than has taken place during the war itself. The Syrian Archive Project was launched to preserve open source documentation of human rights violations committed by all sides of the conflict. The collective has gathered and verified chemical weapons attacks on Damascus and Russian attacks against Syrian civilians, an invaluable contribution in the age of fake news and increasingly hostile propaganda efforts on the part of some of the world's greatest political players. The OTP has taken active steps to grapple with this rapidly evolving context. ICC investigators have engaged in a series of meetings with human rights NGOs through structured workshops and bilateral conversations to discuss the range of scientific and digital technologies that could assist the ICC in generating the critical lead, linkage, and corroborative evidence needed for successful prosecutions. These conversations focused on harnessing data via remote sensing and satellite imaging, as well as how to manage the coming storm of potential evidence from social media. The court is far from alone in these conversations. Groups like Witness have begun training activists in how to document atrocities with an eye to maximizing the court admissibility and weight of any video they produced. Investigative journalists also began experimenting with how to more efficiently exploit new technologies, including social media to monitor global events, quickly becoming some of the most innovative actors in the space. In the time that remains, I will first situate open source information collection and analysis on a historical continuum, and second, comment on the use of open source information by the OTP in preliminary examinations in relationship to three core principles, and according to the 2013 policy paper, should guide the preliminary examination process: independence, impartiality, and objectivity. Information gathering techniques and the type of open source information collected has evolved significantly with advances in communication technology. Militarily, politically, and diplomatically, governments have long utilized open source information gathered remotely to shed light on events happening at a distance. Significant shifts in the type of open source information collection by governments have taken place in historical moments characterized by the proliferation of new information technologies during times of political unrest and war. Three distinct stages in the evolution of open source intelligence include intelligence gathering through newspapers during the Crimean War, use of not only newspapers but also journals and foreign broadcasts during World War II, and mining of print, radio, television, and telephonic communication during the Cold War. This third phase also saw the accelerated creation of visual and print-based documentation of human rights abuses by organizations including the New York Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, Amnesty International, and Human Rights Watch. Well, at that point it was Helsinki Watch, but a precursor to Human Rights Watch. In the mid-1990s, we saw the use of videos, photographs, and satellite imagery, including images collected through remote sensing by drone, were increasingly used not only for political and foreign policy purposes, but also to support legal accountability. A really notable example is the use of perpetrator footage in the now infamous Scorpions case at the International Tribunal for the Former Yugoslavia. The footage was passed along from activists to ICTY prosecutors and ultimately used to help establish the killings that were alleged to have occurred, who committed them, and how. A fourth and more recent stage in the evolution of open source information gathering has been driven by the contemporary proliferation of smartphones, social media, and other networked public repositories. This stage is meaningfully distinct from the first three stages described above, because public actors increasingly emerge as participants in both information generation and intelligence gathering. This was perhaps most visible in the Arab Spring period of democracy building, but user-generated content began literally streaming out of South and Central America, Africa, and Asia at about the same time. YouTube quickly became one of the primary platforms for sharing video. By September 2016, as much as 300 hours of video footage are being uploaded to YouTube every minute, a number that continues to rise. This historical map is instructive because it indicates, first, the evolving nature of open source information that at once calls for rigorous strategies for information and verification, and cautions against rigid policies that risk becoming outdated. And second, suggests that existing jurisprudence developed in relationship to government-dominant phases of open source intelligence may require interrogation. I will now conclude with comments on the use of open source information by the OTP in preliminary examinations in relationship to principles of independence, impartiality, and objectivity. The 2013 policy paper from the OTP identifies three general principles that should guide the preliminary examination process, derived respectively from Articles 42, 21.3, and 54.1 of the Rome Statute. Open source information is significant in advancing each of these objectives. With regard to independence, Article 42 of the statute states that the office shall act independently of instructions from any external source and shall not be influenced or altered by the presumed or known wishes of any party. In a case of a state party or UNSC referral and in relationship to information received under Article 15, the office is not bound or constrained by the information received. It may seek further information from reliable sources, and all information is subject to critical analysis and evaluation. In addition to requiring the office to look beyond the material received in conducting its preliminary examinations, this in practice necessitates the effective use of open source information. The principle of independence requires the office to develop and apply consistent and defensible standards of analysis and evaluation from open sources. The principle of impartiality is rooted in Article 21.3 of the statute, which states that the court shall interpret and apply the law without any adverse distinction founded on grounds such as gender, age, race, color, language, religion, belief, political or other opinion, national, ethnic or social origin, wealth, birth or other status. According to the policy paper, this requires the office to apply consistent methods and criteria irrespective of the states or parties involved or the persons or groups concerned. In addition to requiring the office to apply consistent methods and criteria in gathering and assessing open source information, the principle of impartiality has inspired methodologies around open source information that account for unequal access to modern information and communication technologies. This awareness will be particularly important to avoid a potential overdependence on open source information that might disadvantage persons on the basis of their being on the wrong side of the digital divide, or otherwise poorly represented in the available data set. The policy paper states that the OTP seeks to ensure that all relevant parties are given the opportunity to provide information. Given the limited set of information gathering activities allowed at the preliminary examination stages and the office's resources, the principle of impartiality and the wider Article 21.3 therefore stands as a corrective to over-reliance on open source information. Considerations of impartiality also underline the importance of civil society and other first responders in closing representation gaps rooted in the digital divide. The principle of objectivity is derived from Article 54.1, which provides that the office will investigate incriminating and exonerating circumstances equally. The paper notes that because the information assessed in preliminary examinations is mainly from external sources, the OTP will pay particular attention to the assessment of the reliability of the source and the credibility of the information. The era of modern ICTs, marked by increasing access to the internet, along with the proliferation of computers and mobile phones, has given rise to a changed information ecosystem. Organizations seeking to make objective use of all that is available in this context must assess information from a diverse range of sources, including organs of state, the full spectrum of political and military actors, professional news organizations, media activists, hacktivists, citizen journalists, ordinary citizens, and untrained eyewitnesses. This presents a challenge not just in terms of source evaluation, but also in terms of source identification and the corroboration and verification of the available information. With the realization that news can often spread faster on social media than through news stories generated through conventional media, citizens are increasingly uploading vast amounts of video footage to social media platforms to create awareness of human rights violations. Such footage has the power to provide legal accountability if admitted into court. However, sharing content obscures the potential to identify the instance's veracity, as metadata, information about the content, is often stripped away and cannot be used to corroborate critical information about the videographer, uploader, and time, date, and place. The 2013 policy paper notes that the office uses standard formats for analytical reports, standard methods of source evaluation, and consistent rules of measurement, checking internal and external coherence, and drawing information from diverse and independent sources as a means of bias control. In the age of social media, methodologies around the discovery, verification, and analysis of relevant information from open sources have changed rapidly in the context of journalism, policing, and the world of intelligence. As the information ecosystem evolves, the formats, methods, and rules of the office will be subject to change as well, most likely. Online investigations also require actors in a modern information context to grapple with ever larger volumes of information. While valuable information often appears, disappears, or is replicated with varying degrees of fidelity in real time. In service of the principle of objectivity, therefore, the office is again presented with an opportunity and a challenge in relation to harnessing open source information, an opportunity to draw on the experiences and activities of actors outside the court. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for listening. For more open access audio recordings, films, and publications, go to silrap.org.